Hello and welcome to Broadcast Urantia. My name is Jay, and today we're going to pick up where we left off last week with Michael from Hawaii. Hi, Michael. How are you? Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Jay. How are you?
I'm not bad.
Oh, great.
Last week we were talking about the tour they were taking you on the Sphere. Did you want to continue? I believe it was one of the Grays that might have been taking you around. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was... introduced himself, not by name, but by his role, and he said he was a graduate guide, or something like that. I said, you mean you graduated? You know, I'm silly, because I'm trying to relate to him, but anyway, he turned out to be really, really wonderful, and really, I would say, could have been a person that could project a lot of love, peace, and calmness, and friendship. He was probably really great, and that's exactly one of the easiest ways to describe him. Well, anyway, we can continue on if you want to, but actually, we just went through meeting various life forms, you know. I believe the last one was one who was an invertebrate, a gigantic invertebrate, like an octopus, and he was sentient, and he had telepathic powers to communicate with him, a huge eye which could gaze into and really speak to. From there he left, and as you were walking away, and walking up a grand causeway, because it looked like a road, a highway, but it was much too big for just two people to walk up on. It seemed quite underutilized, in my opinion. However, we walked up there. And on my way up there, I was introduced to the chamber. It was just point, we just passed it, and it was high up on another level, maybe like three stories up, but you don't really see stars. You see it way up there. You can see through the glass. I guess you might say glass, because it was transparent. And sit there, and it's the chamber of life, and we went on. And go on to some other areas, but you got my mind set on talking about the Danal and stuff like that, so. We can skip over this part unless you want to go on with the life forms, because they're pretty much just introduction. And I believe they're like that. And every human, or basically a person who hasn't been introduced and needs to be, I guess, calmed and become acquainted with the New Jerusalem. We'll go to that very same tour of life forms, a tour of a garden area, then a tour of life forms, and an introduction to the grandness of what is occupying, living in much of the universe that we are a part of. And I was, after a point, it wasn't completely one individual after another, but it ended up being a point where I was just told to sit down at this area, which was a tributary-like place where we, that Grand Causeway sort of turned, and there were other gateways, entrances. I was just told to sit down. different. It seems like very human looking, except the top of their heads were like short, flat, and they were shorter. Then another group came through, and they had very similar flat heads, and they were like children maybe 8 years old or something, really small. And then comment to my guide was, "Wow, you have children here." And then he repeated it to me. He says, "No, they're not children." And I said, "They look like children. They're children to me." He says, "No, they're not children." And they waved. They're real friendly. One of them was real friendly. And I thought, you know, he was playing a game with me. I said, "So I'll play with them. Seems to be real friendly. He wants me to play." So I went over and thought they were playing like hide and seek. I'll just try to remember that. I hear some kind of a name like that. And it turns out there were, in the Irrational cult, is one of the most peaceful of all of the mortal. I believe, in the system of Satania. So they never rebelled. They never fell under the Lucifer rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was an introduction to them. Well, they left, and I just sat there, and a wave of grace, you might say, that type of human-like life form, humanoid life form came through, and they just came in as a groups of two pairs, you know, groups of people, everyone seemed to be paired off. And there was no solitary person walking, they were always paired off. Sometimes there were three together, but no one was walking alone. And quietly, when you just hear their feet just sort of slapping the ground, it seemed to have flat feet. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the numbers started to get really large. I mean, it went from looking at 50 people to hundreds, then it seemed like just nearly thousands were just moving through it. It's really crowded. So it's as if something happened, like a train station, you know, all of a sudden came in and it's loaded with people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was really getting kind of scared, because this is really strange. No, I was introduced to no other human being so far. Everyone was different, and I was unsettled, and I was wondering why. You know, I thought this was the discovery of technology, and you know, discovery. Instead of discovering, you know, technologies and how things work with, you know, as Nello said, how things work with us. I was looking at their culture, I was looking at the people, I was looking at the inhabitants of the New Jerusalem, which I didn't know the name at the time. I didn't even know how big it was.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these little guys were just walking past me, not giving me a second look. I'd wave at some and got the attention of a few, and they just walked past me as if this, "Oh, that's a human sitting over there. We see them all the time, so don't worry about them." It's like they weren't surprised. answers. But my guide said, just wait here, and he had to go somewhere, so I just waited. And pretty soon I got desperate because the numbers were getting pretty thick and my guide was gone, so I thought I'd ask one of these guys, because they look just like very close to my guide. So I touched one of them and I grabbed him by his hand a little bit and he went, whoa, you know, I started getting startled and basically said in his language something, and I ended up understanding him. He said, you weren't supposed to touch me. No, he said, we're not supposed to touch you. remember that. I wonder how I'm going to put Naranja and Earth together. I'll just call it Uras. If I hear something with Naranja and Earth, reference to Earth, in a book like that, I would remember it as the book that was introduced to me by this guy. I'll just call him a guy right now. Mm-hmm. He's just like a regular guy. And on he went. And he says, I have to leave you right now. Just wait here, and your guy will be back, and he'll take you along. So that's pretty much where I got introduced to the this guy. Didn't know who he was. Just thought he was somebody very important because he had these big guys with him. And or he just had these guys following him all around. And it says, before he left, I says, who are these? And he says, oh, these are friends of mine that they seem to be with me a lot, all the time. And I says, oh, they sure big. It's not, yeah. You get used to them when they're around like this. Things like a little conversation concerning, you know, their size and their bigness. And, looked up at their countenance, their face, and their expression wasn't soft. It was like they were serious. And paying attention to our conversation. And prior to him reaching us, they seemed to be in conversation with this guy a lot. So apparently they needed some information or just conversing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I took up their time and they had to go and do whatever they had to do. And they were away. And I waited there. You know, I went. I waited there a little while longer. And then from that point, another thing happened. An individual that came out straight toward me, and I looked. And from the angle in which I was seated, and that particular bench was set up at a certain angle. And I saw these, what looked like human, perfect human beings, thin, tall, about 6 feet, and having a kind of a Prince Valiant haircut, bangs, and straight cut right along the chin line, right around back. We also call them Chinatown type haircut, but I didn't know it was a group. I thought it was just one individual because it just came straight at me all of a sudden. And then it came around, around a curve, and I looked at that curve and I said, oh, I saw another one right behind them, and I said, oh, twins, because they look exactly alike. And then the next one came by and it said, oh, triplets. And another one, oh, quadruplets, quintuplets. And they just kept on coming. They all, I'm not sure exactly how many came through.
Mm-hmm.
It was a group more than 10, probably closer to 20. And they were all seemingly on gliding along on the very same lifts that we were gliding along on sometimes. And they just glide along. I guess pre-assigned route or something. Anyway, as the end, the very end, there was a little one. I said, wow, as a child. And it jumped off of this. And he said, hi. And I said, hi. We're the Dorians. And I said, Dorians, yeah. That's who we are. And I've got to get back with my group. And actually, he was trying to talk to me a little bit more, and I said, well, your group is going, you know, because we seem to be around the curve a bit. And he jumped on his thing, and he just zoomed, right, really quick, and caught up with him. But it was cute. It was the only different one, because he seemed to have been like a child, you know, and probably was growing up to be the same as all the rest. This is my introduction to the Dorian. well, again, meet many of these people. And then, seated, I'm being waited, there comes the guy again, clean-cut guy. I would say Caucasian, he had short hair, reminded me of a surfer, well-conditioned, and comes through. And he says, oh, okay, we're finished what we did, and you can come with us. I said, oh, okay, I'll go with you. And I go along with him, and all of a sudden, we go through this area, and then make our way, and perhaps back up the direction in which they came from originally. So I'm climbing a causeway up the spiral. And as we make a turn and we're about to enter another room, there was what appeared to be a plant in front of it. And I looked at it and I said, you have plants here. And it seemed to have been like a pot under it. I'm not sure. But the plant was glorious. And it was not like the type of, a plant that would just be there and just sort of like get blown around with this movement we caused with the, the air moving. Mm-hmm. It was alive and moving around with radiant light moving through it all the time. And it reacted to my admiration. The more I admired it, the more it showed off. Its colors became more vibrant. Its radiant feel from it was quite wonderful, and I continued to look at it, stare at it, until the Dano, who I didn't know his name at the time, the person, said, yes, this is made out of substance that is not found on Earth. I said, oh, you mean like blasted it? And he looked at me, I just said, it's not found on Earth. And besides that, he didn't like plastic. Plastic is not something really like, but this is not found. The material, the base material, is not of Earth. He says, oh, it seems to be alive. And he says, it is in a special way. And I looked at it, and it reminds me now of the description very much of the bush that burned and was not consumed, in which Moses saw before ascending the mount. Interesting thing about ascending the mount and Moses, at that time there were thunderings, but the sounding of a trumpet, the sound of trumpet blasts were being heard. Presently, there's a lot of trumpet blasts being heard around the world, including Hawaii, and they're getting more numerous. These kinds of warnings and trumpet blasts are associated with perhaps an event. At that time, it was the advent of law, perhaps. Mm-hmm. A level of organization, perhaps civilization, based from moving it from one level of royal rule, like with the pharaohs and stuff, perhaps to other higher level civilizations, or acquired law. Mm-hmm. Now, that advent was interesting because of how some of the events are happening right now. Going through perhaps the trumpet blast, changing of an age is indeed trying to announce itself to the common man, the person who lives an everyday life and is concerned with a larger picture, the reality of our position in the universe, how we are now going to be transitioned and move toward a higher level of reality and sentience. In a closer proximity to divinity. And anyway, getting back to entering into the classroom, entered in. And this is sat down there. And then he didn't enter with us. My guide was with me now. And I sat down and I said, wonder if this is someplace like a cafe or something. Because the tables were round and chairs were set about around the table, around these round tables. It seemed to be one area that seemed to look like a stage, but not significant. And I just sat there and I wondered, oh, is this a place where people eat or something? And he says, okay, well, my guide says, I'll get you something anyway, but it's not me for that. And he found something very thin, like a very, really thin chip or something, white. And it was quite satisfying. In other words, I didn't feel any desire to eat after that anyway. And in walks Zenon and gets to down and didn't notice him at the time. I think he came in a different direction. And then I noticed, I turned around and I noticed him sitting there, drawing circles on the table. I said, wow. And he looks up at me and he waves over, come over. Come over here. I said, come. And I went, okay, I'll come over and check, see what you're doing. I think you just joined the solar system. I already know the solar system. And he says, I'm not doing that. I'm not joining the solar system. And I said, well, what is it? How do you do that besides that? You know, how does this work? Because this looks like an ordinary table, but it seemed to, you know, be animated. You could animate your lines and move them around. And it seemed so interesting, maybe. But now, of course, you know, we got that technology. And so that, as a matter of fact, he told me, don't trouble yourself. I don't need to explain it to you because you will, within your life, see this technology on Earth. You'll be using it, so don't worry about it. Look at what I'm doing. So, okay. And then he reminded me, he said, you wanted to know about God. That's why you're here, right? And I said, yeah, I want to discover God. You know, the world, you know, people say God is dead or non-existent. And I don't believe it. I said, that's really good. He says, I'm going to show you about something here. And he drew seven circles on the table. And I went, okay, that's not the solar system. Yes, he completed the seven circles. And then he explained them to me. And he said, this is God, where God is. And I said, oh, okay, seven. Like, okay, right? He says, this is you. And he drew three circles. That's you. Mind, body, spirit. Okay, that's you. You're out here, and presently you're out here. He moved that. That was the part where I kind of, I think I also I interrupted a little again. How did you move that? You know, I said, again, you'll see that. Don't worry about it. Look at what I'm doing. You're, he moved that into the seven circles, toward the center, and he just penetrated. He said, this is your journey. This is where you learn, and you will eventually find God. He says, oh, that's how you found God? And he says, in a sense, we were closer. But all of these others in this room, you see, were sitting with you. They're on this journey, too. Oh, okay. He says, that's interesting. So, got any idea what you'd like to ask me any questions, Jake?
Well, I'm just following you. This is very interesting. Please carry on.
Okay. Well, anyway, it was pretty basic in terms of the penetration and toward the innermost circle. Then he stopped me. He says, you need to penetrate these more. I says, "Oh, that's very interesting. And you got a ways to go." He says, "Yeah, but you make it." And I says, "Hey, you can go back to your chair." So I went and sat back in the chair. And I was looking over at the group. Oh, by the way, he also explained who he was. He says, and along in the conversation while seated to him, he says, before I sat with him, he says, he tells me, "I'm a Dano." And I says, "Oh, you're Daniel." "Daniel? You mean Daniel like the Bible? Because my mind is always on discovering about you know, God or like that."
Mm-hmm.
You're like Daniel. "No, I'm a Dano, not Daniel. I know who you're talking about, but I'm a Dano, a teacher." And I says, "Oh, teacher, okay. I'll find out more." Well, anyway, then we proceeded to continue into what he was drawing on the table and stuff. So he introduced me within that frame of experience right there.
Right.
And got back and I'm seated again, looking into the classroom. And the big guys that were with him were seated also, but they were in the back, seated in the back. So I had to look to the rear of the room, if you were to give a rear in terms of the area that was a little bit lifted up, not very high, maybe just a foot high off the rest of the floor. And these big guys acknowledged me, and knew they remembered me, and they said, "Oh, hi, okay." And they nodded their head like sort of a bow, and okay, interesting. Now, people here, and then on the far side of the room, there were a bunch of people that looked like Grays, like my guide,
mm-hmm.
And there were multitude of others in there who were just participating. They didn't say much, just sort of like observed. So, and I say, okay. I kept looking at these and wondering at the Dorians who were like exact rubber stamp copies. I mean, just exactly like twins, you know, just perfect,
mm-hmm.
perfect. Identical, the uniform, everything. Then I turned to my, I remember turning to my guide and saying, "Why are they all girls?" And I said, they had that thin frame and that China doll haircut, you know, and didn't have a feminine figure, but sort of a straight figure, but didn't have breasts. Gave me the impression they were feminine.